This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakenik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Isaac Rop is out, sending our thoughts to his family. Hope everything's all right. Filling in, Luke Anderson here with you. Also filled in this morning, so if you're sick of my voice, sorry.
It's all Luke all the time.
Listen, it's what happens. But we've already made it to hour two. The show cruising right along. We've hit some hard-hitting topics like...
Hurricane penis,
bullet trains.
You know, happens.
Everything you would expect to be taken care of. If you missed any of it, go to 1080thefan.com. As soon as we finish up with the club hour, you can download the podcast almost immediately. You can download the podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tires for today's morning show with Cam and I. You can download the podcast for Saturday's show with Souk and I.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been a wild week. You don't want to miss any of it.
A tie is a hell of a lot better than a win. That too.
Yeah.
Ties are better than wins. Who wants to win? Everyone wins. Wins happen all the time in the NFL. Get a tie. That's what excites people. Soccer. What's the number one sport in the world? Soccer. What does soccer have? Low scoring, low action, and ties, ties, ties. Let's do it.
It'd just be great when you play that drop and Isaac's like, I don't remember that happening. Well, you missed it.
Yeah, and by the way, Rop has not been fired. Rop is not sick. Rop is, he's got family stuff he's got to take care of. Stuff happens.
He's where he needs to be.
Where he needs to be.
And it's not so, here. He's got more important things to deal with than
thoughts
this.
Thoughts and prayers out to the Rop family.
Yep. So all wishing him well, and hopefully he's back tomorrow and everything's is what it is. So with that being said, it's 5:03. Why don't we dive right into the hot... Is this too early? Are you ready for this?
This is normally where Rop would freak out that we're somewhat on time and try to stall for 2 to 3 minutes. But you being the radio professional that you are, we can get right into this bad boy.
Yeah, let's dive right in.
Bite right into a juicy hot 5 at 5.
Hot 5 at 5:03.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Download the reward app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, game tickets, and rewards.
Number five.
All right, let's dive into some college football firings, shall we? So after the Red River Showdown game, the Oklahoma Sooners have fired their defensive coordinator. One of the Stoops, I'm going to say Mike, has been fired as a defensive coordinator.
The more angry of the Stoops brothers, he's the one that was the Arizona coach and looked like at any moment he was going to murder someone or have a heart attack.
He could have been replaced as the Sun Devils' actual mascot, just a lunatic and ready to go crazy. So here's the fun part. Replaced by a guy named Ruffin. Ruffin McNeil taking over.
So Ruffin McNeil, and then in that same game, we had Dicker the Kicker.
That's absolutely correct.
That is a 100% real thing. That the Texas kicker, I forget what his first name is.
Doesn't matter what his first name is, let's be honest.
Yeah, it was like, whatever, insert random name here. But his last name is Dicker. He's Dicker the Kicker. That's fantastic.
And a little hope that Alabama will not be the national champion. They lose starting cornerback Trayvon Diggs to a broken foot. He's out indefinitely and will be replaced by a freshman. Another little side note there from college football. Move over to some NFL personnel. Let's do NBA personnel moves. Ryan McDonough has been fired as the Suns GM. What are we, 9 days away from the start of the NBA season?
I keep looking around on Twitter to see if I can find like a reason behind this, and no one seems to have one.
They said in the release, the Suns president or whoever it was said, it's been 5 years. We're still rebuilding. We haven't improved at all.
But yeah, I was just going to say he's been the GM of the Suns. That's enough reason to get fired.
But 9 days before the start, like what happened?
Yeah, you feel like there's got to be a catalyst for it. There's got to be a spark to start the fire.
Yes, there's no way you just get like within a couple days. The season starts October, 16th?
Yeah.
You don't get here and then all of a sudden you're like, you know what? You've done a real poor job and you're fired.
Yeah.
Like something had to happen.
Yeah, fire the guy before the draft when you have a chance to actually change something.
Exactly.
There's no free agent signings coming 9 days. Unless they're still trying to get the Jimmy Butler trade pushed through and this guy's resisting. We don't need Jimmy Butler.
Intrigued to know what happened.
Also, Spurs lost starting point guard DeJounte Murray to a ACL tear, out for the season. NFL personnel news, just got reports. Sources are saying that Eagles running back Jay Ajayi has torn his ACL and is out for an offense that's already struggling.
So interesting in that there was rumor even before this that maybe Philadelphia was looking into a possible deal for Le'Veon Bell. And so now with Ajayi being out for the year with the torn ACL, maybe that heats up a little bit because you know, clearly that relationship with Pittsburgh is beyond fractured. If he does come back, it's just to accrue another year and then he's going to leave at the end of the season. So maybe this is one of those that makes sense because I think Le'Veon Bell in Philadelphia would be really, really interesting.
Yeah, that would be fun to see. A couple other little notes here. Corey Grant, Austin Seferian-Jenkins, both on IR for the Jags. Giants are set to release Eric Flowers if he's not traded by 4 p.m. tomorrow.
Like we talk about this all the time. He is the worst starting player in the NFL and has been for years.
Yeah, and the Green Bay Packers came out and they said they're sticking with Mason Crosby even though he missed 5 kicks.
What, 4 field goals and an extra point?
Yeah, 13 points that he would have accounted for by making those, and they lost by 8 to the Detroit Lions. Their third straight loss to the Lions.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's not good news. Hey, let's take a look at what's going on in Major League Baseball. There are currently 2 games underway. We already have a final from the Astros-Indians Game 3, and the Astros have swept that series with an 11-3 win over the Indians earlier today.
They bludgeoned the Indians, and now they just get to kind of sit back and wait for the Red Sox and Yankees to beat themselves up, get their rotation all set. Oh, and by the way, they had the best bullpen in Major League Baseball, ERA-wise. Like, no one's talking about the Houston Astros, but they're just sitting there as the defending champs, just waiting, and somehow they're flying underneath the radar. It's the damnedest thing.
Yeah, top of the 9th inning, Dodgers lead 6-2, and just underway, Red Sox and Yankees at the top of the 2nd. It's a 0-0 score there. You're going to have the Astros likely waiting, but it'll be Dodgers-Brewers. Should be a fun one, too. A sweep and then pretty good 4-game win there. And the number one. This is something you don't see very often, and I think it's pretty exciting. Monday Night Football is featuring one Drew Brees, and it seems very likely that he may become the NFL's all-time passing leader in primetime tonight, and you can watch that on ESPN.
Yeah, they said that the NFL is planning to stop the game tonight. So he needs, 201 yards, I think it is?
So he needs 200 to tie, 201. So right now he sits at 71,740 passing yards for his career. That's an insane amount of passing.
And so he is set to pass... I think Peyton Manning is 71,940 yards is the all-time leader. And, you know, we touched on this a little bit last year or last week, too, that Drew Brees just doesn't, for whatever reason, just doesn't get enough credit. And, you know, he's got a Super Bowl, so you can't even do the whole Dan Marino thing. And I ask you the question, who's the best, like, offensive weapon that he played with? Right, if you want to go like Colston.
Well, I mean, he did play with Tomlinson because some of these yards came in San Diego before his shoulder injury.
Yeah, but he blossomed in New Orleans, and he's done it not without talent, but I think Joe Horn was there probably early on. You know, he had
Colston.
Jimmy Graham, but it hasn't. It's been more Brady than it has Manning. When you look at who Manning had with Edgerrin James and with Dallas Clark and.
Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne.
Yep. I mean, those are big time studs. And Breeze did this a lot of times with bad teams.
Yeah.
He is amazing being an undersized quarterback. What Drew Breeze has done and continues to do at this age. We talk about what Brady has done.
Sure.
And Breeze is doing the exact same thing at that sort of advanced age. It just hasn't had the success, but you know, his team isn't anywhere near as good as Brady's. I just think that Breeze doesn't get nearly the credit he deserves. And this is special. I mean, I know not all records are created equal, but you're the all-time leading passer in the NFL. You will be more than likely after tonight. That's a really, really cool moment that I am looking forward to. I hope we're at home at that point and yeah. It doesn't happen in the second half and we can sit down and watch it, because that's freaking cool.
Yeah, I don't think it gets much better than that. And this is one of those records that, you know, it's not a hollow record, right? No. The guys that have held this mark are all-time greats. And to take any record from Peyton Manning at this point, it just so quickly hasn't lasted very long. But we talk about, you know, these numbers. Matthew Stafford's a guy that puts up a lot of big numbers and doesn't win a lot, but he benefits from the way the NFL has changed. Drew Brees is one of the guys that ushered in this way of playing football.
Yeah.
He was one of the trendsetters, along with Peyton Manning, the two guys, the guy that holds the record now and the guy that will hold it by the end of tonight, most likely. There's I think, three games he hasn't thrown for 201 yards in his entire career. But Drew Brees had a shoulder injury that San Diego didn't think he could recover from.
And neither did Miami.
And Miami passed on him, exactly.
That changed the course of the NFL. Nick Saban was in Miami, and Drew Brees wanted to go play in Miami with Nick Saban, and they said no. They said, we're not doing it. I think they ended up rolling the dice on Dante Culpepper.
Yeah, and Joey Harrington as the backup.
Yeah, and they ended up with, New Orleans is the one team that said yes. And San Diego got rid of him. They drafted, they drafted Eli Manning, but then that turned into Phillip Rivers.
Yep.
And he got the heave-ho. And here he is on the verge. He's got to pass Brett Favre, and he's going to pass Peyton Manning tonight. So you look at the top five. Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, both are going to get passed tonight. Yep. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Dan Marino.
How's that?
Dude,
how's that list?
That is amazing company. And he won a Super Bowl. So I get that it's not multiple, but I don't know. Just because there's only the one Super Bowl, and maybe that's what it is, that's the knock on him. But you're trying to tell me that Eli Manning had a better career than Drew Brees because Eli Manning has two.
Well, but look at that list. You just said Dan Marino, no Super Bowls. Brett Favre, one Super Bowl. I mean, Tom Brady's got the whole plethora of them, but Peyton Manning's last Super Bowl was a defensive one.
He wasn't
throwing the ball. So in that company, what he's been able to do has been amazing. And the fact that he did it in New Orleans, a city that was recovering from Katrina when he moved in, and he was passed over by two teams that didn't think he could recover from it. And just that whole storyline, I think this is one of those moments that the NFL does it right can be really special. And I'm with you. I want to be able to watch it live.
It's a cool moment. I hope everyone takes a minute tonight to sit down and watch if you are a fan of the NFL, and just take a second and appreciate how good Drew Brees really is.
I'll give you the option. I've actually got a story that came up today on Yahoo Sports about Drew Brees and how he almost never was. This is even before the NFL. So why don't we go there next? We'll finish up the sports hour and we'll jump into the club hour. You're listening to Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Stuke on 1080 The Fan.
Now just imagine sitting front row at the Moda Center and having Salt or Peppa lock eyes with you while she's singing this, Sook.
Now remember, too, that I'm not sure if it's Salt or Peppa. I think it was Peppa, but was married to the guy from Naughty by Nature.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's going to be some hanky-panky going on the old folks'
tour when they come through Portland. Together anymore, so it may be some ex-sexual tension, yeah. But there's history there between OPP, old Naughty by Nature, and Salt and Pepper.
So I was looking at the Better You Today text line, 55305. Somebody guesstimated around 44 miles for the 71,940 passing yards. I did the conversion. I've got it at 40.875 miles of passing in the career for Peyton Manning, and that's what Drew Brees is looking to overcome tonight.
So, yeah, he's sitting at third right now, but he'll get Favre and Manning tonight.
It's amazing how small that margin is between Favre and Manning. I mean, just eked out, because, I mean, he only threw for, I think, 140 yards his entire final season, right? Something like that for Manning.
Maybe a little bit more than that today. But not much.
Undersell it. So I teased this before, but stories like this always kind of get me when you look back at the almost wasn't kind of stories,
sure.
Especially in football. It's one of those things where, you know, how easily could Tom Brady have been out of the league and, you know, you never have the injury and he's a guy that was a sixth round pick and all of that. But
yeah, if the collapsed lung doesn't happen
for
Drew Bledsoe?
Sure.
You know, do we have Tom Brady?
Well, and if Wally Pipp never takes a day off, do you have Lou Gehrig and all of those things in sports? So Yahoo today put out one of these for Drew Brees, and this goes back to his freshman year of high school. And Drew Brees was just a small, scrawny transfer from a private school over to Westlake High School.
Yeah, he's in Texas. He's a Texas kid.
And Westlake is one of the big football schools in Texas. So this is a huge deal. And he goes, and he was put as the B-team quarterback behind a kid named Johnny Rogers. And Johnny Rogers had everything going for him. His dad was an assistant coach at University of Texas. He was the younger brother of the current starting quarterback. They played an option system, which was better suited to his athleticism.
Sure.
So he'd already been anointed before Drew Brees ever transferred in. And Drew Brees just didn't have, you know, the skill set that they were looking for. So he almost never got a chance. But, of course, you get to that point in old Johnny Rogers' sophomore years rolling out and his knee buckles. And so you throw in this Drew Brees kid and just to see what he can do. And as they say, the rest is history.
Well, and I don't know what kind of recruit he was, but he played at Purdue.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's Purdue. It's not like it's like a football factor or anything, but he took Purdue. I remember now. I don't think they won, but he took them to the Rose Bowl. I remember Drew Brees in the Rose Bowl, but I don't think they won him. He might have gotten clipped by USC or I'm not sure who it was that year, but he was a second round pick to San Diego. It wasn't like Drew Brees wasn't supposed to be. This wasn't the coronation. This isn't the kid that was handed everything.
No.
He earned it at every turn. And then he has a soldier injury in San Diego. They draft Eli Manning. That turns into Phillip Rivers. They ship him out of town. The Dolphins tell him no. He ends up in New Orleans. And next thing you know, I mean, damn it, the guy's setting almost every NFL record there is.
Well, and you look at it too. I mean, he's not the mold, right? No. I mean, he doesn't fit it in any way, shape, or form. He's the undersized guy. He's, you know, he has good arm strength, but he doesn't have exceptional. He doesn't have the great mobility. It's funny that a lot of people compare Russell Wilson to him, but he doesn't have that kind of evasive maneuvering, the Fran Tarkenton runaround that Russell Wilson does. Drew Brees is a unique cat.
There's no one that has had better pocket presence that finds better windows to throw the football into than Drew Brees. He's had to because of his size and his stature. He's been remarkably durable outside of that shoulder injury. I'm going to look up, but I don't remember him missing a ton of significant time over the years outside of that one injury. And, you know, for a guy that's undersized that played in the era where you could actually hit quarterbacks, I mean, it's amazing. He is, and by all accounts, a great guy.
Yeah.
Great in the community. You know, no one has anything bad to say about him other than he doesn't take a discount. That's the one thing that, you know, sometimes people bring up is that he wants to get paid. Like the best player in football, and I don't necessarily think you can fault him for that.
Yeah,
but there just isn't a lot to not like about Drew Brees. In fact, I'm looking here that outside of that year where the shoulder got torn there in San Diego. So since he got,
and how much time did he miss in that season?
Not much.
Yeah, it was just the end of the season.
Just the
right?
end of the season. He played 11 games in that. Yeah. But since he's going back to 2005, he has, I'm looking here, it looks like he's missed two games. Going back to, 2005, he's missed two games. In 2009, I'm looking here, he started 15, and in 2015, he started 15. Other than that, 16 games, 16 starts every single year.
Yeah, and he turns 40 in January.
Yeah.
And he does
amazingly durable,
but he doesn't show signs of slowing down either. We mentioned this, you know, Favre is right there, you know, with Peyton Manning. He just eclipsed it. There's no reason to think that Drew Brees is done after this season or maybe even next. The way that he takes care of himself and the way that he's performed with really not much of a letdown he's getting older, you wonder where this record is going to be. It's going to be past, you know, 80,000 yards. And as long as as long as Tom Brady's playing, there's always that fear that he'll, you know, be he's right there with him. So if you take a season off, you wonder how much keeping this record matters to Drew Brees, because if he wants to do it, he can keep playing.
Like, I remember going back to like 2012 here, where like there appeared to be some sort of dip, and we're like, well, you know, maybe we've seen the best of Drew Brees, and he completed 63% of his passes that year, and that was like the holy hell, the sky's falling. He had 43 touchdowns and 19 interceptions. And since then, he's completed 68, 69, 68, 70, 72. This year, he's completing 76. And, you know, he throws for 35 to 40 touchdowns every single year and completes 70% of his passes. And it's just, it's clockwork. Yep. You just know what Drew Brees is going to give you, regardless of what it is. And some of those teams weren't very good.
No, they weren't.
It didn't matter. He just kept rolling through that.
And that's been the kind of the calling card of the Saints in the Sean Payton, Drew Brees era. I mean, other than, of course, the, you know, Bounty Gate.
Yeah.
But the sign has been, you know, every time they look like they're falling down, they actually have a down year, unlike the Patriots. I guess there's a difference. But they have a down year. They always seem to recover. And if you remember, I mean, they were one play away from playing for an NFC championship last year.
And should have.
And yeah, well, but, you know,
should've.
Stephon Diggs and happened. And,
holy hell.
And so, but they were right there and they should have been playing for it. And if they can get things rolling again this year, there's no reason to think that they couldn't be back in that position with the talent that they have.
Yeah,
around
they had
them.
The 7-9, 7-8, 7-9 years. And those were that was when they had like, what was 30 or 40% of the salary cap was dead space.
Oh, okay.
The team was so mismanaged. It was, they didn't have anybody. Like, over a quarter of their cap went to players that weren't there anymore.
Jeez.
They were just so atrociously run. And, you know, they kind of had to go through that purge. Now they've come out the other side and have younger talent and have managed to build it around Brees. And last year actually had a defense and, you know, 11-5. And like you said, should have played minus a absolute fluke, freaky play, should have played for the right to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, and it's funny too. I'm looking at the Better You Today text line, and you were kind of bringing up who were the stars that played with Drew Brees, and somebody brings up Jimmy Graham being just a monster in that offense. But sorry, he's on his second stop and his second elite quarterback that he's played with since Drew Brees, and Russell Wilson never got anything going with him. And right now the Green Bay offense looks fairly anemic, and I believe Jimmy Graham's playing there. And it's, how much of it is Drew Brees making his receivers look great? Because how many of those guys have been good there, gone on to a second stop, and haven't been the same guys?
Yeah, it's a valid point, right? Jimmy Graham was an absolute monster with him, and he has not been since. They asked the question, how good was Jimmy Graham? Or was it the fact that Jimmy Graham had a nice skill set and played with Drew Brees? I'm looking through like the list of guys he played with, and it's Colston.
Marcus Colston.
Was the best player that Drew Brees played with.
Did Marcus Colston leave a Saint, or did he go somewhere else? Because I don't remember him catching a pass in another uniform.
I think he was just a Saint.
Yeah.
And then walked away.
I think he retired after that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember him being anywhere else.
Yeah.
But there's an element of the...
Drew Brees makes you a star.
Yeah, well, kind of the same thing that with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look it up and see how many he's thrown to, but Tom Brady's thrown touchdown passes to 71 different receivers.
Yeah, Joe Horn's been brought up here, but Brandon Cooks is the one guy that had success after leaving, and where did he go? But he went to New England.
Michael Thomas is having obviously a big start to his career, but again, he's only a couple years in.
Yep.
Cooks had the monster year, and outside of that, I mean, you've got like the Lance Moores of the world that have rolled through there, but yeah, it's, you know, Colston, and that is not, oh, that's just not a product of...
Wasn't Devery Henderson there and always catching long touchdowns?
Yeah, Devery Henderson was there.
Yeah.
It's just not a product of Drew Brees playing in a system just loaded with talent. That's a product of Drew Brees being one badass you-know-what.
Yeah.
And Sean Payton. That's a nice combination of those two guys.
Yeah, you get the right two guys together. There's a good reason to watch Monday Night Football. Watch Drew Brees throw for 201 yards and put himself in the lead as the all-time leading passer in NFL history, passing Peyton Manning. Should be a good moment. It'd be very appropriate to do it on Monday night.
And people saying that it was the Washington Huskies that defeated the...
Oh, in the Rose Bowl.
Purdue Boilermakers in the Rose Bowl.
Okay. Well, there you go. Hey, rookie quarterbacks had a very bad showing a couple weeks ago, 0-4, but they turned it all around and went 4-0 on Sunday. We'll dive into that next, but first let's throw it to Mike with your update on what's going on with the Yankees.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Imagine seeing this live.
You can.
You can. June 2nd at Moda Center. 2019 is going to be a great year.
I love that they're announcing that now. Really? They got to start the buzz now?
Hey,
a June 2nd concert with New Kids on the Block, Deb Gibson, Naughty by Nature, and Tiffany. You got to announce that in October for a
and
June.
And Salt and Pepper.
Yes. For a June showing.
Hey, we're talking about it. It got somebody's attention.
Not sure if that means that you're... It's so big that it gets announced now to create this much buzz, or you need this much time to sell tickets?
A little bit of both.
Someone said that, and I don't know, this is on the Better You Today text line. Someone did say that when New Kids comes around, New Kids sells out the Moda Center. I can't believe that's true. There can't be that many nostalgic, like, what, 38-year-old women that they're selling out the Moda Center?
Well, but here's the pattern, because this happened when we were kids. It started being like the 70s classic rockers.
Sure.
And then when we were in our 20s, it was Journey, and it was all of these 80s bands that came around and had it again. Here's the pattern that I believe exists with things like this, is you're a huge fan. You go crazy as a teenager, early 20s. You go out and you have these big crushes on these guys. Then you have children and stop going to concerts. And then your kids, you know, get their lives of their own. You're looking for something to do. And hey, guess what? That group that I loved as a kid is back. Now you can take your, you know, 21-year-old daughter. You go out on a night in the town. Here's the crap that I used to like when I was a kid. You're in your 40s,
yeah,
and you go out and you party.
But Moda Center's what? 25,000 to sell out a concert?
You're not
somewhere in that? 25,000 people?
38 to 48. There's.
I get it. Like Justin Timberlake. Like the Foo Fighters, Metallica, like Rihanna, like that sells out the Moda Center. New Kids on the Block and Deb Gibson?
If you're 42 and you live in Longview and your parents, your kids are leaving the nest, what better do you have to do than drive down to Moda Center on June 2nd to watch Salt and Pepper and New Kids on the Block?
I may have to go to that just to see. No enjoyment. Not like I'm going to see New Kids on the Block and see Hanging Tough.
No, I'm not going to sing along to every word. There won't be a tear in my eye when you hear that,
No, I won't be doing that. Nope. I won't be doing the dance.
Yeah.
I'm just going for research purposes and to see what it's all about.
Since we're talking about music, I want to play the most musical call from any of the Sunday games. You may not recognize the game from the call, so I'll tell you that this is Graham Gano's game-winning 63-yard field goal against the Giants. Mm-hmm. Sunday.
Le ha sobrado distancia, le van a servir. Tiene altura, tiene profundidad, va a llegar. ¡Ganó lo gano! Señor, ¡Ganó lo gano! Ya sí le voy a los pates. ¡Taca!
It is good.
Whoa.
But when he starts singing at the end, it goes too great.
I'll say it every time. The Telemundo announcers can make anything that much better. Anytime Telemundo is involved, it's that much better.
But you're like, oh, it's like a soccer call. I'm getting it. And then he gets really excited. You're like, okay, I'm into this. But then he starts singing at the end.
63. Although I saw that that's not even the longest of Gano's career. In high school, I guess he kicked a 65 and a 67-yard field goal.
In high school?
In high school.
Holy hamburgers.
Yeah.
Not playing in a lot of domes in high school.
Apparently not.
Where did he go to high school? The moon?
It's well played.
Yeah, thank you.
I was kind of reading about it, and they said, yeah, he had a 65-yarder and a 67-yard field goal in high school.
Holy hamburgers. Well, you played with Ryan Lindell. I mean, I used to go to those games, Mountain View High School. We both went there, and he used to kick them out into the forest behind McKenzie Stadium.
Yeah, he ended up being a kicker for the Bills and the Seahawks. And my claim to fame is one year we were playing Tumwater, and I believe they beat us like 60-3.
Sure.
And we did not cross midfield except for once. When we inched across and Ryan Lindell kicked at the time a state record, I think he ended up booting, it was 60 or 61.
Yeah.
And that was our 3 points.
There you go.
That was what we got against him. And you better believe after it was like, I was like crotch chopping like Tumwater. I'm like, take that. You got a guy that can kick a 60-yard field goal? No, I didn't think so. Punks? Yeah, we got rolled. I do not think that was the one play. We ended up like with our third string. We ended up like breaking a run across barely across midfield. And then we stalled. We're like, whatever, let Lindell kick it. See what he can do. Drilled it.
Well, and here's the funny thing about Ryan Lindell, for anybody that doesn't know the story and hate to get, you know, back into the day, the kicker from our high school, but he didn't walk out of Washington State into the NFL with a contract. He was one of these guys that was picked up after a guy missed three.
He was working at UPS. Yeah. Lindell walked on. I think he's probably the most successful athlete to ever come out of our high school.
Michael Ruse. Yeah.
Went on and played a bunch of years and made some Pro Bowls.
Yeah, 10 years left tackle for the Titans.
True,
yeah.
But Lindell walked on at Washington. He was a tight end. Yeah. Like he just kicked as like an afterthought. He was a tight end. He was
and a really great good baseball player too. Yeah,
he walked on at Washington State, ended up earning a scholarship, was their kicker, tried out like the Seahawks, got cut, and then was working at UPS. And it was like, yeah, someone missed a bunch of field goals, and they were like, hey, you wanna come here? Ended up sticking, played a couple years in Seattle, and ended up in Buffalo for a bunch of years and played for years and years. Couldn't be a nicer guy.
Yeah.
And that's one of those cool stories about a guy that was probably told no at every turn.
Yep.
And we made fun of him for being a kicker. And lo and behold, dude made millions of dollars off of kicking the
linebacker,
NFL.
Linebacker, tight end, and kicker in
linebacker,
high school.
Linebacker, tight end, and kicker.
That's
and,
good.
And just a kick-ass guy. I don't know where he's at now.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that dude in 15 years, but wherever he's at, that's a good dude. And it's one of those feel good stories.
But you would think a 61 yard field goal in high school has you just walking on, doesn't have you walking on and puts you right on the path to being a professional kicker. And it's not the case. That's a weird business being a kicker. And it's been a bizarre year for kickers in the NFL anyways. I mean, I mentioned it in the Hot 5 at 5, Mason Crosby missed 5 kicks this weekend.
Yeah.
And did you get a look at the kick that won the game for the Browns?
No. I didn't see it.
Go ahead and take a look at that. But this is the low knuckleball, barely over the crossbar kick. And that's the way Browns wins football games this year.
Well, it's just, it has been a weird year. And I don't know what the deal is with kickers. Maybe it's like this every year and we just don't pay any attention to it. Now it's like right in our face. But it sure seems like the kicking game in the NFL used to be automatic.
Well, and that was why they moved the extra point back. Yeah, and I wonder if that's messing with people's heads.
I don't know. It's a funky thing because it's not just extra points. It's field goals. It used to just be automatic, and now it feels way more of a white knuckle type situation when kickers are lined up.
Yeah, and Mason Crosby's been a great kicker for a lot of years, and it's tied the record, I believe, with 4 missed field goals, and I think the extra point put him over the top, and now he's the record holder for most kicks in a game.
Hey, at least Green Bay stuck by him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a history. I mean,
yeah, he's been there a decade. He's
been there a long time, but normally you miss 5 kicks. Yeah, you're done. It's the one position in football that a bad game, like there's not many starters that are like that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're left tackle, you give up 5 sacks, chances are you're not going to get cut the next day if you're the starter.
Yep.
If you're a quarterback, you throw 5 picks, it's not like you get cut. Dude, kickers, you miss 5 kicks, your ass is on a bus. They don't even give you a plane ticket. They send you a bus ticket home.
Well, and quarterbacks, one of those positions where you get a guy and you put up with a lot. But how about the rookie quarterbacks this week going 4-0 after going 0-4 the week before?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Sam Darnold all get wins in week 5 in the NFL.
I'm not sure. Although I think Rosen completed like 40% of his pass.
Yeah, so there was a stat. So Buck, producer of the morning show, had a stat for us. First time in NFL history that a team in the 49ers got 30 first downs. The Cardinals got less than 10.
Yeah.
And the Niners lost by double digits.
Yeah, I heard some people today like talking about, you know, the rookie quarterbacks, and you've got a, like these studs. And I'm like, whoa, time out. Let's stop. Let's not call Josh Rosen a stud. And by the way, Josh Allen went 10 of 19 for 82 yards. I've heard that narrative all day, like driving in about the great week for rookie quarterbacks. 82 yards Josh Allen threw for. 82 yards. Stop.
Yeah.
10 of 19. If I told you whatever quarterback you want, he was going to go 10 of 19 for 82 yards and throw a pick. His quarterback rating was 42, and you found a way to win the game.
Yeah.
Stop with this rookie quarterback nonsense.
And 3rd overtime for Cleveland.
Yes.
And a mess of a kick that made it through.
Yeah, I'm looking at Rosen's stat line because I don't think it was a ton better. Rosen was 10 of 25 for 170. At least he had a touchdown and no pick. So
yeah,
it was better than Josh Allen's. But let's not put anyone in the Hall of Fame just yet. And by the way, the freaking Tennessee Titans, the most maddening football team in the world.
Yeah,
like I told,
beat the Jags.
They're not any good. They're 3-2, and people are like, hey, they're 3-1. I'm like, no, they're not good. And you want to know why? Because they just lost to the Bills with 13-12. Yeah, that's why.
That's all you need to know. Hey, we had three top 10 teams lose in college football. Let's finish out the sports portion right there. This is Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I thought I loved this song. When I was a kid, had a little crush on Tiffany, but Sook's taking his shirt off for some reason. I don't know what's going on. It's got him moving. And,
this is my jam right here. I got a shoulder shimmy going on.
It's getting weird in here. I mean,
nipples
I've always been a big
hard.
Fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
What's up, Tiffany? Mike, what do you know about going to a mall to watch Tiffany? Nothing.
Yeah.
I know literally nothing about that. Correct.
Was that before? Like, did you ever catch any of the mall craze?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But the
mall tours where like the biggest acts
went to malls.
The video you saw at on MTV
was her at a mall.
Was her going to a mall, but she continued that tour and they were promoted. And that wasn't just her.
Well then no, I did miss that craze. Yeah. Obviously malls were huge where I grew up, but not for concerts.
Yeah, no, malls weren't just shopping centers. No. They were the place to
concert
be.
Halls. And there was always like riots.
Oh, yeah.
Like new kids would show up at a mall and they had to like literally get the riot police out because 12-year-old girls were trying to claw each other's eyes out in order to get to, I don't know, one of the Funky Bunch or whoever was happened to be at the mall that day.
Get my hands on a Funky Bunch.
It's a whole thing, man. I remember now malls are just sad and depressed. You ever been to a mall lately?
Oh, yeah. We took the I live right next to the Vancouver Mall, so yeah. I poke my head in there every once in a while. Yeah,
Yeah, head over to the Lloyd Center sometime.
Lloyd Center is awful.
It's just desolate. And I think the rest of the stores that are in there are just fronts for like drugs.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's no way in hell anyone's buying any of those things. Going to one of like those like, is it like the Treasures of the World store? They sell like samurai swords and like drug rugs. Any chance in hell anyone's buying that thing? That's clearly a front for drugs and human trafficking.
Pretty
with the exception of getting a Wetzel's pretzel, there's no reason to ever go to the mall.
Yeah, and after drugs, who doesn't need a Wetzel pretzel?
Wetzel's pretzels, great pretzels. That is the only reason to ever go to a mall.
I never heard that jingle. I didn't know that was a thing. Or is that just what you sing in your head?
My daughter told it to me, and I don't know where she heard it, but to the Indiana Jones theme, and it gets me every time. She's like, Dad, can we?
Oh, that's why I recognize the tune.
Wetzel's pretzels, great pretzels. Wetzel's pretzels, dun dun dun. And then you're like, God, I want a pretzel. Now I'm singing it. I want a Wetzel's pretzel. Into this anti-M square bull ass. Get yourself a Wetzel's.
So I did my best on this. And the one person that has mentioned it on the text line, better use today's text line, is 55305. I've basically tried to do the same outline of the show I did this morning with Cam just to see how different it would be doing the show with you.
Slightly different.
And
you weren't anticipating Wetzel's pretzels or
Debbie
Gibson.
No. Well, Brian in Beaverton pointed it out a little bit.
And I
responded back to him going, hey, I told the boss that what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I was going to see how different the show went. And he said, I thought you were kidding about that, but nope.
No.
It's working great. Yeah,
we've had Hurricane Dong. We've had Wetzel's pretzels. We've had Tiffany. I mean,
we've had the swag smell.
Yeah, you can't plan
controversy.
On that.
Well, here's the thing that I will say about this station that I've believed and I've shared with others. It is driven by personalities, not by events, and this proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt. This morning's show, by all accounts, a great show. Cam and I had a good time. We talked about a lot of things that we've talked about right here, but it does not go in the same direction when we present Big Souk and Cam Cleland with the exact same topics.
No.
The shows are going in two different directions.
No, we get
as it should be.
We get the we look alike, which I don't really think we do. We just happen to be bald and white.
And you're big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But outside of that, a lot of differences between me and Cam.
Yeah.
Yeah. We.
Yeah. And as it should be.
As it should be. We diverge.
But yeah, it's been funny because I've basically filled in on every show on this station, and I've filled in with just about every personality, whether it's been for a segment or for an entire show. And I've said this before where I'm like, you could sit down and do the exact same show with anybody and it's going to go in a completely different direction. As it should, and we've basically proven that today. It's not very often you get the opportunity to do two shows in a day, but
no, you get to test out that theory. Yeah. It is true. I mean, you can't do the same thing really. I mean, they do so like SportsCenter, right? Like you see that all the time that they'll redo the SportsCenter, like coming at you again, and it ends up being a different SportsCenter, and that's all scripted. Yep. It's just hard to do the same thing twice. It's hard to do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but here's the other truth is you and I could sit down and do this exact same show again, and it's going to go very differently. But that's a good lead in into the club hour. This is where we can actually divert and go a completely different direction.
As opposed to what we've been doing? Our hot mall topic in Wetzel's Pretzels?
Let's be honest. We kind of knew things were going that direction.
I'm not kidding. I want a pretzel. I may go by the Vancouver Mall on the way home just to stop in and get a Wetzel's Pretzel.
I don't think that's a bad idea. No. Mike, how's the baseball game going before we leave the sports section?
Not great.
What? What's going on?
It's 3-0 Red Sox.
Mm. Oh.
You're taking this better than I thought you would.
Well, there's still time in the game. It's not like it's over.
It's over, Mike. It's over. Just accept it. It's done.
Have you ever heard of a man dying from a sea snake bite?
No, but it's one of those things that terrifies me.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you see a snake in the ocean, it's horrifying because snakes are scary enough on land where I feel like I can run, maybe do like a mongoose type move. But you put me in the water where really there's a lot of dog paddling on my part. It's out of my element. It's terrifying.
What scares you more, the sea snake or your plane catching on fire at takeoff? Because I can have both for the club hour.
I'm kind of excited about these. Yeah, I'm going to probably go with the plane catching on fire.
Well, let's start there. Yeah. And we'll do that in Club 1080. That is next right here on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.